Miss any part of Halford and Brough in the Morning? Subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts and don't miss an episode.
Welcome back to the People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf, Dominic Schmata here with you for another half hour.
Hello, brother.
Before we pass you off to Canuck Central, Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here on Sportsnet 650. In a few minutes, we are going to be joined by Yannick Hansen, former Canuck.
Did I just hear you and Ben playing with the idea of doing 75 hard again?
I've been thinking about this for a while. 75 hard, by the way, is, you can look it up.
Two workouts a day,
some other stuff.
Drink a gallon of water.
Yeah. I drink a lot of water anyway. Yeah. The reason.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. The reason I would want to do it is.
You have a wedding coming up.
I have a wedding coming up. I'm getting married. It is my wedding. Dom will not be there because
I'm at my cousin's wedding.
He hates me.
That same weekend.
Victor will be there. Victor will be there.
He does not have a cousin's wedding that same weekend.
Others from 650 will be there. Not everyone. Had to make some cuts. Not actually.
Is Ben going to be there?
It was more of a vibe thing. Ben is going to be there, yes. But it was more of like, hey, who do I work with the most? That's who's going to be there.
Mike and Jason are not going to go.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. And for them, they're probably like...
relieved, yeah.
They
would probably send you a gift.
Oh, that'd be nice. That's okay.
Yeah.
650.
Wait, do I have to send you a gift?
Nah, it's okay.
Okay.
But yeah, anyway, I'm probably going to do 75 hard again just before leading up to the wedding.
Do you have a registry?
In tip-top shape. No, we're just asking for money.
Oh, good.
Because we're not very liquid at the
moment. I will give you a dollar.
Well, ew. You know what? That's okay. Whatever you can do.
Before or after tax?
Good question.
650-650, Dunbar Lumber text line. Let's hit a couple before we are joined by Yannick Hansen. This one, Mike from Cloverdale. So what we were talking about before the break, hey, like Oilers fans... I don't know how we got to this point, but Oilers fans are the worst, in my opinion, at least lately. And you were making the point
Mike
that, hey,
Mike is saying
like,
that as a Flames fan, though.
So, Mike from Cloverdale says, Flames fan living out here. But Flames fans should still realistically hate both teams, especially if you're a Flames fan living in Vancouver.
Yeah, but we might hate Calgary, the Flames, but the Flames... probably hate Edmonton more than they even acknowledge our existence.
That's fair. But anyway, Mike from Cloverdale says, Oilers fans are the worst, Canucks fans not even close. And after a decade of darkness, being gifted numerous first overalls, you'd think they'd have a little humility. They make Leaf fans sound modest. I guess I forgot to factor in Leaf fans. Those might be the worst.
No, because like, what is a Leaf fan?
Is this philosophical question? What's going on here?
Do you know any?
Yeah.
Most of them that I know are just like corporate suit types.
Sure.
But I don't know anyone like you and I that's a Leaf fan.
I know a few Leaf fans who are like, oh, Austin Matthews is better than McDavid. It's like, okay, come on, buddy.
Oh, interesting.
Anyway.
Not me.
Thank you for everyone texting in on that. But right now we will go to Yannick Hansen. We'll go to... the phone line, and this analyst is brought to you by the Magnuson Auto Group, Metro Ford, Port Coquitlam, and Magnuson Ford in Abbotsford on both sides of the Fraser to serve you. Thanks for taking the time, Yannick. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. And before we get into, hey, what's happening on the ice and everything there. So yesterday, the Canucks team awards that, you know, fans vote on and all that, the voting came out. And one thing that I did some research and I was looking at, you're the only three-time winner of the Fred J. Hume Award, which is the Canucks Unsung Hero Award. So you hold the record for that. So I guess as Mr. Unsung Hero, who do you think should be the winner this year?
I don't know. It's tough. There's a couple of guys. Dakota Joshua comes to mind. But again, unsung, you see the things you do. Garland comes to mind. You see the things you do. Höglander comes to mind. Those are the type of the players that you're kind of looking at. I don't think you can go wrong with any of those three guys. Are they unsung? I don't know. What does unsung mean? We had that discussion too. Can you be unsung once you've been sung, kind of thing?
Mm-hmm. You were sung three times, apparently.
That's what I mean. but it goes to again a little deeper in the lineup is where you're kind of looking at for it. But in my opinion, those three would be three good choices. You could even go as far as saying Casey DeSmith. I don't know if it's ever happened that it's been a goalie. But again, he has come through mightily for them. So that would not be a bad pick either. Just off the top of my head.
The only goalie that has ever won is Eddie Lack in 2013-14. Yeah, Eddie Lack. And then so it was you, Lack, Derek Dorsett, and then you again. So it was a good run of 4 years there. But you mentioned Dakota Joshua, and that's someone that in these last couple of games we've been focusing on a lot. He had a really good game on Sunday. How important will he be if he's playing like this for the team in the postseason?
He has intangibles that nobody else has on the offensive side. Yeah, you can argue JT Miller as well. He has a little bit of that nastiness, can fight, can mix it up. But I don't want to see JT doing that, where Joshua has a size to him that's imposing. And even though he's not a fighter by any means, just the fact when you have a guy who is larger, bigger than other guys, there's an intimidating factor to that. So he has stuff to him that if push comes to shove, he can push. And that's very nice to have. We have some of that on the back end, but again, on offense, it's a little more limited.
And we saw in the last game, him and Connor Garland, they were playing with JT Miller. And so essentially it's just the third line, but with a better center. So they're playing in the top six. What did you think of that line?
Yeah, again, ever since he went down, they split up that line. Garland has continued to excel, if you will. Where Blücher has seen a little bit more of a diminished role after they got split, but there's no question if they can produce and drive play like this, more ice time quality is obviously warranted. The only issue with that is sometimes you take guys that play really well in a depth role, and then you put them up higher in the lineup, and now you're seeing different opponents, different quality as well on the back end, matchup guys on the other side, that, and it becomes a little harder to score then. But again, if they can continue to contribute that way, give them more.
And so one thing that I've been kind of wondering is, hey, like Joshua and Garland, if they work with Miller, like personally, I think it can be a really good line, and it could be a very intimidating line as well. But the issue that comes up, and I wonder if you agree, is when those guys are in your top six, it almost feels like there's not enough in the bottom six in terms of potential like offensive upside.
Well, you'd hope some of that offense comes from the guys that are going the other way. Obviously, it comes to mind here is Petey would probably be playing with Brock, and that leaves Lindholm, Höglander, as kind of one of those guys are the odd man out there. And offense would obviously come driven from those guys with a Blücher, with a Suter kind of thing. But again, we've talked about this all year, that the top six is a little thin, especially on the wings. So again, you got to find that offense from somewhere, and it's got to come by committee. We can't look to one or two, three guys and expect them to score all the goals for every game.
And so these two players, Connor Garland, Dakota Joshua, we've also seen Nils Höglander kind of graduate from the bottom six to the top six this season. And that's something, I mean, you did as well. You were a bottom six guy, and then eventually you were playing with the Sedins. How difficult is it to transition from being, you know, a bottom six guy playing maybe less minutes to being a top six player?
Yeah, we went from being the best team in the league to one of the worst teams in the league. So it kind of coincides with that. Obviously, the reason I was there was because we weren't as good anymore. So you get taken out of your, I wouldn't say comfort zone, but where you excel and where I was better than the players I played against. That's, I don't know, selfish or tooting my own horn here. But again, I felt like when I was in the third and fourth line, I had the upper hand. Where, yeah, when I played with the Twins, I got scoring opportunities that I'd never see in the bottom six. But again, what you give up on the other end is I wasn't driving a line anymore, and players like that are all of a sudden missed then in the bottom six in order to tilt the ice every time the puck is dropped. So you'd like to have four lines coming over the boards, and every time those four lines are coming over the board, they're driving play. It's kind of like that thing, wave after wave, and offense is coming. We're not just looking at our top six, and when they're on, then we get scoring chances, then bottom six come on, and now nothing happens. You don't want that either. So it's one of those things where we say, yeah, it's great, and they deserve it, and they earned it. But again, can they replicate it once game 1, 2, 3 are in the books, and now we're starting to talk about game 10 and 15 down the road, and are they still producing at this pace in an elevated role?
The other thing that's kind of come up with Joshua, and hey, maybe it's like he's coming back from injury, you kind of want to ease him in a little bit, but the Canucks power play, especially the top unit, still struggling right now. Dakota Joshua seems to be on a roll, has a lot of confidence. Do you think he could be a guy who would fit in well on the net front on the top unit?
I don't know, man. It seems like that they have all the tools. They have scored in the past, and now they're not scoring. And it's definitely a cause for concern, because power play needs to be good come playoff time. You're not going to get 5 or 6 opportunities a game. You're going to get a couple, and you'd like them to be on there so they don't need 5 or 6 in order to transition it into a goal. Again, I've heard this one so many times. Oh, this guy's playing really well right now. Would he work on the power play? And some guys are power play guys and have that ability to play. I'm assuming if Dakota's in its net front and kind of that thing in and around the net, screens, tips, and all those things. You'd hope them to work it out somehow. But again, I like those 5 that they've been using. Brock in and around the net, he's got good hands, he can pop into a shooting position and all these things. Is he as good screening, battling in front of the net as Dakota Joshua? No, he's not as big and physical in that way, but he's got some other things. So again, once you start talking about just switching one guy and here net front guy, well, there's more to it than just being a net front guy, because it's also something as a breakout. How do we get into the zone? How do we transition out of our own zone? And all of a sudden, Joshua would have to take part in this, and then you need to be a lot stronger on the puck when you're carrying it and doing these things. So there's more to it than just he's scoring some goals right now. Can that transition?
It does also feel like we keep trying to, put a different guy there and maybe that'll fix the power play. When in reality, it's like, hey, these four guys should be there and they should be, talented enough. And we've seen it in the past to really overcome whatever issues they're having right now.
Yeah, and that's my hope too, that there's too much skill, too much ability, too good shooters, puck movers, for them to not to be able to figure it out. Obviously, the concern is it's been going on for too long now. But again, you keep thinking that it's going to come through and they're going to figure it out and they'll start scoring again. Hopefully at the right times. That's kind of the saving grace here.
It is the People Show. Josh Elliott Wolf joined by Yannick Hansen. And our text box, it seems like after every game, kind of gets flooded with Elias Pettersson talk and where his game is at ahead of the playoffs. Do you have any concern with Pettersson right now in his current form? As like he's kind of running out of runway, I guess, to really get going before the postseason.
Yeah, I think we missed the boat on finding him consistent line mates. That's the thing for me there. JT has had Brock pretty much the entire season, and they've been running well. And then the third winger has kind of been in and out, different kind of guys at times. Where Petey has been on an island. I mean, he did play with JT and Brock for a little bit, but he's been left to himself. And then here you're going to get two wingers now and turn them into top six wingers, and that's a tall task. So I think you missed the boat a little bit on getting him a legitimate top six winger he could play with. That's obviously something they need to look at in the future here, finding somebody who can cement themselves. So you're not worrying about who's who his two wingers are. No, you need to find one most likely, but that could be a Höglander. That could be a whatever, but finding two, that's too much.
So also over the weekend, the Canucks clinching a playoff spot officially in. It feels like, and again, our text box kind of goes back and forth on this, but it feels like at times they may have let their foot off the gas a little bit. Is it difficult not to do that late in a season when you know you're going to make the playoffs and you're not really jockeying for position either?
Yeah, it can be hard to maintain that 100% attitude the whole time. That's where you're hoping that this little dip here, it comes a couple of weeks before the playoff, and then as we get closer, then you start ramping up again, and then the last three or four or five games, your game is at where you want it. Your lines are set, your power play is set, guys are healthy, you know exactly who's playing with who come game one, and then you can roll into that. It is impossible to play 82 games the way they started this season. So again, some regression is expected. Again, they found a way to not have these 4, 5, 6 games losing streak. They've been 2, 3 the most, and then they found a way to bounce back, which is why they're sitting where they are, and they have had this ability to, yeah, okay, it's nice to win, but if we don't win this one, we're still in a comfortable spot. It's getting closer now. Edmonton is a couple back. You definitely don't want to dip into a second or third in the Pacific by any means. You want to hold on to that top spot, and that is going to require them starting to play not a lot, but better than they have.
Going into a postseason, and especially the first round when there's still some momentum from the regular season, is it better to play against a team? So, like, just for example, the two teams that seem the most likely for the Canucks to play right now would be Nashville, like a team that's going in really hot, but maybe not as talented overall as a team like Vegas. Would you rather them play a team that's, like, hot like Nashville is, or maybe a more talented team, but one that's stumbling like the Golden Knights?
It doesn't really, like, come playoff or just tomorrow or tonight?
Just come playoffs, like opening round.
Yeah, you definitely don't want a hot team. You run into those type of teams, and they can throw a wrench in it real quick. Teams that have been fighting tooth and nail in order to get into the playoff are scary to play against, especially if it's a team who has underperformed earlier in the season. So they shouldn't really be in this position, but they are, and now they fought their way in, and they're running at on all cylinders. Those teams are dangerous to play against. They've been fighting for their lives for the last 2-3 months, which means they have played playoff hockey. And playoff hockey is different than regular season hockey. And Vancouver has been playing regular season hockey. So yeah, you might have the more talented team, the better team. But again, if this team that has been fighting for so long claw win out and get the advantage all of a sudden, getting this advantage back is not as easy as it seems. So again, you definitely take teams that aren't firing when playoff comes. But yeah, it is a 7-game series, but you get one or two and you're halfway there.
Mm-hmm. And so the Canucks, obviously, like, down the stretch, you're playing teams that, like, tonight they play Vegas, a team that they very likely could see in the playoffs, a playoff caliber team. Of course, but you're also mixing in teams like they saw on Sunday with the Anaheim Ducks. And some people are kind of comparing the Canucks to the Oilers, especially with this last weekend. So Saturday, Edmonton beat the Ducks 6-1 and kind of showed that they're like a class above Anaheim, right? But then the Canucks on Sunday, they beat the Ducks 3-2. It was maybe a little closer than some would have hoped. Is that a concern, or is it just like, hey, you got the win, doesn't really matter how it happens?
I don't like Vancouver's against Edmonton. I don't like that series that much in particularly. I don't know if I'm biased here, but having game breakers, and Vancouver has game breakers too. But I have a hard time seeing anybody shutting down McDavid and Dreisaitl. And when you have players that can turn a series like that, you can't prepare yourself for that. You just hope that they aren't that step above me, that we can compete. And then when they're off the ice, then we'll take advantage. But again, like I was it last year, the year before, where McDavid and Draisaitl basically pulled and willed Edmonton all the way through to was it round three or whatever it was, and
yeah.
that's scary. That's scary to play against because you can't beat that. You just hope that they're not there and they're not doing what they're doing because they are better, and you can't. Players have been trying to stop him for so many years. And it can't be done if he's on it. And that's that's an X factor I don't want to deal with. Then I'd rather say, hey, we're better all the way through the lineup. Yeah, we still need things to go right and power play and penalties and goalies need to be good and all these things. But if this just goes like it has been, we will win this series. They need something extraordinary in order to beat us where we need all of a sudden now we're hoping for set players not to play up to their potential. We're hoping for this, and I don't like going into series like that.
Hey, Yannick, really,
if I can avoid it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really appreciate you taking the time, and enjoy the lead-up to the playoffs here.
Yeah, you too. Take care.
There is Yannick Hansen here on The People Show, and once again, this analyst brought to you by the Magnuson Auto Group, Metro Ford, Port Coquitlam, and Magnuson Ford in Abbotsford on both sides of the Fraser to serve you, and got into a lot of, you know, the playoff matchups and what the Canucks could be facing. And look, it seems likely right now that they'll be taking on the Nashville Predators. Things seem to be leaning that way. But if you had asked me a week ago, I also probably would have said, hey, Vegas seems likely. So we'll see how the rest of the season really shakes out. But his point at the end, like, if you get through to the second round, and look, like, hey, I was on with Jamie Dodd on Friday, and if you get through to the second round, to me, that's a win for the season based on not only expectations before the year, but also how things have kind of developed and where the Canucks game is at right now. If you win a round and have a competitive second round, that to me is a good year, though obviously, hey, you want to go further, you want to do more, I get it, but That to me would be a win, especially if you're playing against a team like the Edmonton Oilers in the second round. Not to get too far ahead of ourselves, but if you are playing against a team like Edmonton, it's just tough, man. They've been really, really hot. I know the Canucks had their number early in the season. Their matchup later in the year is going to be really interesting to see where these two teams are at, especially if the Canucks, like they should, have Demko back for that game just to really have a barometer, I guess, of where this team is at. But also, there'll be a few more tests down the line for the Canucks, not only taking on the Oilers, but also the Kings, and a couple games against the Vegas Golden Knights, including tonight in Vegas. And those are games where Vegas is pushing for not only a playoff spot, that seems a little more concrete now. I'm not too worried about them falling out, but position in the playoffs, what team they're going to play against, and they've kind of kicked it up another gear, and we'll see if the Canucks can match that tonight, because if they can, like I think there's going to be a lot of overreactions coming out of this game, whether they win or lose. But regardless, it's always interesting to see how this team handles playing tough competition like that near the end of the season, and we'll see how it goes tonight at 7 o'clock. You can obviously hear the call right here on Sportsnet 650. Appreciate Yannick Hansen joining us. Also, everyone texting in 650 650, Dunbar Lumber text line, everyone listening as well. This has been The People Show. Thanks to Victor Gauthier, thanks to Dominic Schermatti. I have been Josh Elliott Wolf. This has been The People Show. Coming up next, it's Canucks Central. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah on Sportsnet 650.